Hey there, Mike. Sound
Nope.
something?
Ben might have taken it.
All right.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
He wants to go make an announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, can you guys hear us?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just us.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, because he's going at
smiles. Yeah, but the thing ends at 9. And
what time is it now?
It's like 8:33.
Oh, shit.
I'm
sorry.
I don't know. Do you guys want to wait a minute?
You can do it, everyone.
All right, I'm just see for.
It is your show.
It is. You're right, and we're live. All right. Well, I'm gonna steal your mic.
Well,
yours. Because. All right. So, wow, this is. Thank you, everybody, for being here. My name is Kyron Silva. I'm from Tortoise Comics. You're here for our 8:30 panel, the live broadcast of the Four Tales podcast. It's so sad. It's so sad.
The enthusiasm is right.
It is. If you don't know what Four Tales Podcast is, it is a podcast we run every Saturday for myself and my podcast partner, Danny J. Quick, where we interview comic creators across the nation, talking to them about what comics mean to them, why they get into comics, and why they keep doing it. And you know what? I can't do this without doing my intro.
Okay.
Right, so I'm going to have to do this. So.
That's good.
I have this script. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Tortoise Comics, in collaboration with the Crocker Art Museum, respectfully brings to you the 89th episode of the Four Tales podcast. I'm your host, Kyron Silva from Tortoise Comics. To my left, we have the rowdy writer of, what is it you write? Long John, webcomic, and to his left, we have the silky smooth writer and creator artist of books like Number 13, Plague of Children?
Never Ending.
Okay. Yeah. Just a lot of books. Let's just put it that way. But we're here to talk about being an indie comic creator, why we continue to make comic books, and hopefully help you find your next favorite comic. We are live at CrockerCon, so thank you for the Crocker staff for setting this up. My man right there behind the camera, you're awesome. I appreciate you. We're also live on Age of Geekdom Network through my phone right there. So we are on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. So if you're listening or watching this live, thank you for your support, and please like and share, because we need the help. But yeah, this is the first time I ran a panel, so this is going to go very clunky, and I will let you guys know right now. I am not going to hide that. But I have two amazing creators here. Between the two of them, it's about 50 years of comic creating. ranging from self-publishing their own books to working for companies like Dark Horse and Image, things like that. So it's a wealth of knowledge that we have here. So I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves. All right, Dan, you're starting off first. So introduce yourself. Tell us what it is you're currently working on, what you started on, and anything else you want to add.
Can do. My name is Dan Bethel, and I've been making independent comics for, 16 years. Started as doing webcomics, and actually still do webcomics primarily. I did a humor action spy comedy called Evan 07 about secret agent janitors. Did that with actually the host of CrockerCon, Evan Burgoon. And then in 2014, I started my current comic called Long John. It's a western about a cowboy that gets his clothes stolen. I'm trying to figure out how he gets those things back. And it's what I'm still working on, finishing out that story actually, and that should be done next summer. And I get to move on to something new.
Robert. My name is Robert Love. I've been drawing and doing comics since 1996. Self-published my first comic back in 96 with my brother, entitled Chocolate Thunder. It's like a little urban superhero, but he didn't have any powers. And then from there, in 2000, I did a miniseries with Oni Press, and then 2004 is when Dark Horse picked up two series from me and my brother. One was called Fierce, It was called Shadow Rock. And then I did several other books with Dark Horse, number 13, Never Ending. I did an Image book called Alpha Girl from Image. And then my latest book, which was out from Dark Horse, called Children of the Plague. And I'm also working on a graphic novel from Dark Horse right now that is currently being colored. It's called, it is a cross between, best described between It, Stranger Things, and The Thing, like the 1982 movie. And it's called Deep Down and Dark. So that was a really fun book to do. So that's in the middle of being colored. So hopefully that'll be out sometime next year or something like that.
That was an extensive list. And that's all the time we have for this.
What do you think of the bibliography, man? You have
to. Seriously, good. All right. So both of you guys have been making comics for an extensive amount of time. I think longer than half our audience at this point has been alive. what's the biggest difference in when you first started making comics compared to what you're making now? Like, what would be the biggest difference for you guys?
I think the biggest difference is experience. In the beginning, when I started making comics, I wanted to make sure, and I still do this now, but on a different level. I just, I was unsure of lines that I was drawing. I wasn't as confident in certain lines. Now, I'm very confident in the lines I put out on the sheet. I know what to spend time on and what not to. I know how to cheat. So you guys do a lot of cheating in comics to get stuff done. The experience level, I think, for me is a big difference.
Since I think for me, my entire comics career has been web-based, and so the biggest change for me has been just how the web economy works. Back when I started, it was very ad-based, so you wanted lots of ads. And then that kind of went away with ad blockers and browsers catching up with the fact that we don't like looking at ads. And so it's what it has created is a much more sort of focused sort of look at or presentation of who, of me, instead of like, here's my work, click on this ad, read it. It's more like, oh, I'm Dan Bethel, the writer and the artist who's making this weird Western, right? And you should come here because not only do you like the stories I tell, but my creative output is something you want to follow. And it's weird to have you see the industry, for like better word, with webcomics sort of turn more creator focused instead of story focused. And that's been kind of fun but difficult, right? And without ads, it's been harder to make money. But that's a different story for a different day.
We're gonna get into that.
No.
Okay. All right, so both of you guys have been making comics for a long period of time here. What drives you to continue making comics?
Well, I have my song.
Yeah, you're
right. To continue? I think I'm sure all of us can say this. I've always been creative in some shape or form. And for me, comics is the medium that really kind of clicked. It's how I get ideas out. And so it's, especially any kind of creative endeavor, generally is a solitary kind of existence. And getting these ideas, these stories, these images out there allows me to connect in some way. And kind of provides validation. It's like, well, I am contributing despite the fact that I'm in my office myself most of the time. And so just being able to share these stories in a way that actually that people enjoy and share with others is what keeps me going. Yeah. Because drawing is hard.
It really is.
I love the medium of comics. And like you said, it's very therapeutic. I have stories at home that I've drawn just for me. That I haven't put out, and I don't intend to put out. Because it's just, I would draw comics if I didn't get paid for it. Like I said, I've done it for myself. Because I'm into the medium that much. And I like the ability to storytell, the progression of characters. I like the process, the creative process of character designing all the way to the last panel on the last page.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Go ahead, because you're going to answer the next question. And we all know that comics are a very lucrative business. Like, all comic makers are rich. Like, I saw Robert coming in with his Bentley, his new Bentley from this year.
Nice.
And I've been to Dan's house. It's like 8-bedroom, 16-bath house.
It's a bungalow.
It's a bungalow. Okay. All right. I don't know. All right. Well, what would you say is the hardest part? Well, let me rephrase this. What would you say is some of the low parts about being a comic creator?
The difficult parts?
Difficult parts, the sad parts,
the
bad parts.
I think the low part is the long hours.
Yeah.
That you have to spend at a table doing something. I have a day job, so it gives me the flexibility to do comics when I want to do them. I don't have to do them. So, you know, it gives me the flexibility to do them if I feel like it's a story to tell or a writer I like or something, and we collaborate on something, I do it. And so I think the long hours, man, it's
a drain.
It's a drain.
I think you actually bring up a really good point, because also I have a day job that for me takes a lot of time. I'm a teacher, I'm an English teacher, so I can only work basically on my comics during the winter break and summer break. And so, because otherwise, for me, I have to focus on students and grading and giving them feedback and all that stuff. And so, like, I think the lowest point is just, if I could actually pick a specific point, it's I finished a book and it's out, and it's like, oh, the next one will be out for 2 years. Okay, I can do this.
Well, since we talked about your low points, give me a high point of your careers.
I think holding up the first book that I printed or as in my hand was really cool to see, especially coming from webcomics and publishing stuff online, actually formatting that into a book that became paper that we could sell and hand to people was super cool. And it's still a joy that I don't get sick of whenever I pick up a new batch of books, right? So just kind of seeing the thing that is my dream, my passion, actually become something real is fantastic and is awesome.
I agree. I think for me, the high point is when the fans or people come by your book, yeah, and the joy on their faces and the smile on their faces, look at the, like, they're just praising the art and the story, and their appreciation of all the hard work that you put into it, and they see it. I think that's the high point. You know,
that's nice. I say I'm actually a little surprised, especially for Dan, because if a lot of you guys don't know, Dan has an amazing book called Long John that has just been optioned to become a series on FX under the Chris Pine Production Studios. So I'm surprised that wasn't added on there. And Robert has had a couple of your books in terms of, like, short animations, right?
Yeah, the number 13 was done, proof of concept, shopped around, never made it out. But I can't talk about it right now, but I have one book that is being developed for Amazon Prime, but I can't.
No. Okay, wait. Now, part of the Four Tales podcast is we always throw some type of spoilers and, you know, stuff that you can throw stuff out there if you want.
I think you hit a good point. That's why it wasn't a high point, because the legal stuff,
yes,
is a low point.
Yes.
Let me tell you what.
You cannot disclose
what. But I'm very excited for the opportunity, and I'm sure it's going to be great. The people that are behind it are into it, and I can't wait to see what they do.
All right, I get it. Especially with the strikes, I'm pretty sure that's why I halted things, so I get it. But I'm excited to see what comes from both of you guys. We have a few minutes here, because I'm going to have a couple more questions. Then we're going to do some quick takes, and we're going to open up to questions in the audience here. But both of you guys, like I mentioned, been in comics for a while. What are things that you've noticed as far as trends in comics that maybe encourages you for the future of comics?
I think actually, even though I don't necessarily read a lot of it, I think I've been really excited for the rise of manga as being normalized by the industry, because manga has the comics culture in Japan is so different, and they have so much wider variety of stories for all audiences, and I think that's the thing that the American comic industry needs with that. It's not just for kids, as we've been learning, and it's not just superheroes, that you can have comics about businessmen making deals, I guess, and the whole variety. So what I'm excited about is the young people, the kids who are reading manga and become comic creators in their own right, are going to be coming to this medium with a broader brush, and it'll only fill out the market with more interesting stories that aren't just telling the same old thing again. That's what I'm excited about.
So when can we expect Businessman Bob coming out from your studio?
2026. I would have to agree with them. I think that the comics are getting away. I like the fact that comics are getting away from superheroes. I don't read superhero comics anymore. I did it in the beginning, but I don't pick up Marvel and DC. Anything outside of superhero, I like to explore. And so I think I like the fact that comics are getting outside of that, exploring different stories. Like you said, like with manga, man, you can pick up a manga book about any genre, no matter what it is, and they make it cool. Yeah. So, you know, so that's, I think that's a high point, seeing that the imagination and the storytelling is going beyond someone flying over a city.
It's still cool.
But
we're not going to talk.
I'm under the theory, like, if Marvel and DC have a lock on the superhero genre, so anybody else trying to do it is going to be hard.
Why do you constantly keep looking at me every time you say that about you don't like superheroes? You look directly at me. Like, I know I make superhero books, but I don't want you to call me out on it.
guys, come on.
No? Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you can check out my comic books at JordsComics.com. They're superhero series, so check them out.
Not for sophomore?
Pretty soon, actually. All right. You're distracting me, sir. All right. One last question.
I can't hide my beauty.
Wow. That was, you know, what I was going to do. Last question, we're going with quick takes. Both of you guys mentioned this, that manga is something that especially younger people are really getting into. We've also seen trends that younger people shy away from buying comics. Sure. As an indie creator, do you have any thoughts on the idea of maybe making comics more geared towards younger generations, or something that you're just not seeing what I want to make?
So yeah, I'm passionate about this. I think there's too many, in my opinion, there's too many dark books out there.
We're talking where, about Batman.
Yeah, where. Where parents come to your table and say, hey, Kim, what's the age group? That's the main thing I get. What's the age group on this book? Can they read? So I think that it should be explored more for kids. A lot more books should be directed at kids. When I first started collecting comics, I would get them from Circle K, 7-Eleven, or any, I didn't go to a comic book store until I was like, I didn't find out about a comic book store until I was like maybe 15, 16 years old. So that's, I didn't buy comics from a comic book store. So access also is a big deal in how you can introduce kids to comics.
Okay. I think the sticking point there is actually like the comic book publishers need to get on top of this. As we just said, like Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, anybody needs to get on top of making comics for a younger audience, because there are actually a lot of very successful younger comics, comics for younger audiences, but they're not being published by comic book companies. They're being published by Scholastic, right? And they're in bookstores. And that's the thing. If the comic industry wants to survive, they need to look to what the booksellers do that are actually selling. Because I think, aside from manga, I think one of the best-selling comics out there is like Dog Man or something like that. And so like, they're selling. It's just not comic book companies that are doing it. And they want to survive, aside from breaking out from superheroes, as well as like just aiming towards making books that young people want to buy.
Nice. All right. So we only have 5 minutes left. I was going to do a quick take. We'll do one. We're going to do one question for each of you guys. Quick takes is a rapid fire situation where I'm gonna ask you this question, you have 45 seconds to answer it. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
Five.
All right. Dan,
yeah.
If you could have one superpower in 45 seconds, what would it be?
I love this question.
especially in
30 seconds.
In relation to what we're talking about, making comics, stopping time so I can get more done.
You want the same question?
Invisibility. Because I want to see what people say about me.
That's a good
one. Okay. All right, we'll do one more. Robert, pick a number between 1 and 10 that's not 5.
8.
8. Oh, this is actually a good one. Which superhero has the best costume?
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Man. I want to say Spider-Man. Okay. I want to say Spider-Man has the best costume.
Okay.
Easily recognizable.
Yeah.
Bright colors. Kids gravitate to him. Got the pointy eyes. The webbing. I think Spider-Man has the best costume.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Daniel, have 20 seconds because he's throwing this.
I never read a book with this character in it, but I've always was really impressed with the modern Green Lantern costume that came out in like the 60s because it was way ahead of its time. Like it didn't have like the underwear on the outside. It was just really smooth and sleek and cool. I've always liked that Green Lantern costume.
But you never read a comic book?
Nope. I'm a Marvel guy. Forget DC.
All right. Hey, that do you?
Why are you bringing up old songs?
All right, so that was a quick takes brought to us by CrocCon. We have a couple minutes left. We have a few people in the audience. So if you guys have any questions, this is the best time to maybe ask them anything about making comics or just comics in general. Yes, ma'am.
So for those who are just starting out, do you feel like they should be leading with like a moral compass of what they think they should put their mark on society? Or do you think they should just kind of explore and experiment?
I would encourage exploration because when you get to the point where you want to say something that you want to say, I'd say make sure you have the experience behind you so that you say it clearly, right? And then that way you know that the message you're trying to get across will get across as clearly. So I would say just learn how to make comics by messing around, right? And see what works and see what doesn't.
No, I completely agree. Exploration, get to know what you like. You know, you don't know what you like until you start doing it, the subjects you want to talk about. But yeah, I completely agree with, can't say it better myself.
On a just a craft kind of perspective, when you say like they have a specific like moral idea that they want to get across, I'd recommend against that for someone starting out because that leads into a problem a lot of new creators get into, which is like, I'm going to tell my epic. And I'm like, yeah, I've made comics before. Instead, start small, start with something weird and neat and something that you're interested in. And that can, like I said, build up your experience to finally, when you get the confidence and abilities to tell a big story, you make sure you hit all those points and you say it.
Follow-up question. Since you do the web comics, which social media platforms do you think are best to promote your comic on, and what kind of rollout do you do?
This is actually my favorite question for you, but because I actually don't see much of the future of social media right now. It's so falling apart, especially Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Instagram doesn't allow links to click on, so like, and nothing else is really gaining traction. I know he has some thoughts about TikTok. I don't know if you do TikTok.
No, I love TikTok. What are you talking about?
But I think that the best thing to do right now is create your own internet presence by your website or with online stuff. Especially if you are doing this weird more manga style or even like romance stuff, the best place to go would be Webtoons. Yeah, Webtoons. And because that I think in terms of web comics, that's where most people that are finding comics now are going to Webtoons specifically, which is like a host site for comics.
Yeah, Webtoons is like the biggest online comics platform. It's got millions of people go read comics on Webtoons. I mean, their readership is so huge that Marvel and DC can't even compete with it. It's like millions of people to get on there, and it's quite easy to put a submission on there and get on. It's not difficult. Yeah.
Funny since you said, I would say find your own path. I know plenty of creators that just focus on Facebook and are successful in that realm because that's where they focus on and that's what they're comfortable with. I know creators that just do Instagram and do really well at that. One of my closest friends, my podcast partner, is Dan J. Quick. He does specifically all on TikTok. And he's blown up on TikTok to the point where he's almost about to quit his job because he's making that much money just off of sales from TikTok. So it's about finding what you're comfortable with and the platform that works well for you. Every platform is going to have its ups and downs. I don't know what the best thing to say is, but it's pros and cons is the best word. So find what you work with, but try them all, and then figure out which one you're going to be more comfortable with.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
As far as mangas, which type of mangas do you guys normally read, or have you read any in particular that just caught your interest?
I've read Naruto. I've read Akira. I read the original Akira manga books. Domu is really a psychological drama. I read that one. There's so many, man. It's like you just go to the bookstore, pick up one, looks interesting, just read it. Because I haven't read a bad manga yet.
Well, that's a good advice. Just find something that you like. And pick up, because like we were talking about earlier, manga has a comic for everybody, right? I haven't read too much. I read Akira. The most recent manga I've read is a comic called Vagabond, which is like a samurai kind of thing. And I read Battle Angel, but that's a little one as well. What about you?
Karen. I'm not going to go with that.
I mean, you can answer it too, but...
Well, okay, so as far as reading mangas, I'm actually more of just anime watcher, but mangas I have read are My Hero Academia. I've read Trigun, which is a great series, parts of Dragon Ball. Here and there, I read. But I'm more of just, I like the animes. My Hero Academia is my favorite anime. Full Metal Alchemist is a Brotherhood is top notch for me. But I just try it. Like, honestly, it's sort of just like comic book. Just go into a store, look at the cover. If it intrigues you, pick it up, because that is probably what's going to resonate with you. All right. Any other questions? I mean, it's just three angles. I don't know what happened. All right, well, no, yes.
I forgot what it was.
Okay. Okay. Well, then that is going to be the end of the show because I think we're past time anyways. I do want to make sure that people check you guys out, check out your work. So, Dan, first off, tell everybody where people can check your books out, buy your stuff, check it out online on your social medias.
The best place to go to find my stuff is the comic book website, longjohncomic.com. And find the comic there. It's still a webcomic, even though I do make books. The books have extra stuff. But you can find me mostly on Instagram at dbethelcomics.
You can find me on my website, robertlovesart.com, and on Instagram at rlove1971.
You should buy Robert Loves Comics.
You really should.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I just took my head. Why don't I have Robert Loves Comics?
That's huge.
All right, well, gentlemen, I appreciate you guys being here. Thank you, audience, for being part of this. Thank you, CrawfordCon, for letting me do this. This was a fun thing. If you haven't checked out the Four Tales podcast before, you can go back and listen to our previous web episodes at fourtalespodcast.com. That's number 4, T-A-L-E-S podcast.com. If you want to check me out, I'm doing this live with someone else, check me out this coming Saturday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll have T.J. Sterling, writer, on. We're going to be talking about his book, Okamas and Joystick Angels. And you can find my books at tourismcomics.com. But until next time, sayonara, goodbye, and please take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Karen.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you, audience.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you
for the great questions.
Appreciate it.
Really good questions.
Apparently, Newligan was like,